Joyful blessings. This is King Lake Estelle, and this is part two of our look at the Taurus mysteries and the path of intimacy, pleasure, beauty, receivership as the path to wholeness, enlightenment, fulfillment for the Taurus mysteries. And we were looking at beauty in the last audio, and I wanted to complete with a couple of thoughts about that before we jump into the other aspects of Taurus. The season of Taurus happens 30 days after the spring equinox. The sun moves into Taurus, and then around May 5th, the sun reaches 15 degrees Taurus. That is the halfway point between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. And this is the time that the Celts referred to as Beltane. And many cultures around the planet in the northern hemisphere have celebrated this time, and it's a time when there's great beauty. A lot is of flowers are blooming. It's just a time of the greenness of the earth, the beauty that surrounds us. And so it's a celebration of beauty. And that is one of the primary experiences that we can relate to Taurus at this seasonal experience. So also, I wanted to share this line from the poem Ode to a Grecian Urn by John Keats, and it is, beauty is truth, truth, beauty. And that is just reminding us that beauty is multi-leveled, multi-layered, multifaceted. And the Taurus mysteries are really investigating the experiences and the expressions of beauty that are expanding our sense of how lucky we are to be embodied in on the earth, in this beautiful garden of the earth at this time. So all the different levels and layers of beauty are included in the Taurus mysteries and part of the investigation of those who carry strong Taurus on their chart. Now, I wanted to move into the exploration of intimacy next. Intimacy has to do with our relationships and how we connect with others. It includes a deep personal connection where we share things that are very personal about ourselves. We can sometimes feel that we're really seen in an intimate connection. And this isn't just with a lover or a mate or a partner. It can be with a friend. It can be with a family member. It can be, you might even have a powerful intimate moment with a perfect stranger. So these experiences of intimacy are beyond what often people think of as intimacy as sexuality. So it can include sexual experiences, but it's far more than that. Ultimately, the definition of intimacy is to state or make known. It's making yourself known to another, and it's also being open to receive the experience of another. So this happens when we're with a person that we're really close to, and maybe you share a very intimate detail of a part of your life with someone, and then you have created an intimate connection. So intimacy is something that people really need to thrive, and yet it can be scary. It's not something we often need to develop intimacy because we need to create trust. We need to know that when we share these really hidden parts of ourselves or these very private and personal parts of ourselves, that the person that we're sharing it with is going to honor that experience. And yet without this ability to have intimacy and to sustain experiences of intimacy with others, then we find ourselves feeling separate. We find ourselves feeling alone. So Taurus is really investigating the mysteries of intimacy. And what does that mean? How can we have a deeper experience of intimacy? Now, of course, there's the shadow of that where it can become an addiction, where it can become, where you become over-identified or dependent with someone. So we're talking about the healthy forms of intimacy and intimate connections with others that can include your significant other. And in fact, one of the some of the research that's been done lately is that without that feeling of deep intimacy and vulnerability, oftentimes relationships will not be sustained over time, a marriage relationship or a long-term partner relationship. So the investigation of intimacy is a very important piece to the Taurus mysteries. Also, the investigation of pleasure, extremely important to the Taurus mysteries. And pleasure is defined here as sacred pleasure. It's not the experience of pleasure that is sometimes looked down upon, as frivolous or as the, something that might even be causing harm or it's the kind of pleasure that enhances our connection to source, to spirit, to the divine, and it supports the fulfillment of our life purpose. And it's not just about, the kinds of pleasure that we can have that are fleeting, but it's really how do we create sustainable, sacred pleasure through deep, intimate connection, through the experiencing beauty, through having the experience of the genuine pleasure of being able to receive the beauty of life, the gifts of life, the intimate moments that we can have in life, staying present in the moment, the pleasure of what it means to be fully embodied and experiencing that. Many years ago, probably about 12 years ago now, and perhaps about the last time Jupiter was going into Taurus, and I'm doing this recording in 2011, right before Jupiter enters Taurus, but this, again, this recording will be something that is about the Taurus mysteries will be helpful for many years to come. Anyway, I was involved with a very dear friend of mine doing ceremonial work, and we created a idea or a sense or a ceremonial activation of what we called the pleasure paradigm. And I decided that I was the harbinger enchantress of the pleasure paradigm, and she was the architectural something or other of the pleasure paradigm. I can't remember exactly. The intention was that pleasure could be our greatest teacher, sacred pleasure, the pleasure of being fully embodied, because we tend to live in a culture that tells us not to pay attention to what our bodies are trying to tell us, the wisdom of our bodies. I shared this in the Celestial Timings recently that as a child growing up, I was told that if I had any pain or something that was uncomfortable for me, just to ignore it, it would go away. And this is basically training a child, training us to not listen to our bodies, to not pay attention to what our bodies are trying to tell us. So part of incorporating the idea of pleasure is to incorporate the idea of being able to listen to the wisdom of our body, being fully embodied, and being able to experience the deepest, most ecstatic, orgasmic pleasure physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually on all levels. That is what Taurus is here to investigate. So this brings us to now the mysteries of receivership. And this is one of, like all of these things that I've been talking about, there's been a lot of wounding in our culture around it. So part of the challenge for Taurus at this time is to find the healthy expressions, to find ways of tuning into the healthy expressions of these mysteries. And so receivership is something that has not been really modeled or taught in our culture. We are taught it is more blessed to give than receive. And recently, I heard this a woman named Dr. Pat Carrington talking, and she was saying that the original statement, really was a mistranslation, and it was probably something more like, it's more blessed to give than to take something that's not yours or something that's not rightfully yours. So since you know, this is just like a whole perspective shift on the idea of the importance of receivership. And if we think about our breathing process, the in-breath, the out-breath, in the in-breath, we're receiving the breath of life. In the out-breath, we're giving it back. In the in-breath, we take it back in. And so there needs to be a balance in this experience of giving and receiving. They work together. Both things work together. So the challenge for many of us at this particular time is that we've been trained that's more blessed to give than receive, so we give more than we receive, and then over time, that means we have less to give because we're not being replenished. We're not being able to take in the energy, the life force sustaining energy that will help us to be able to give more. So Taurus is the reminder that the mysteries of receivership are extremely important, and that how do we receive in healthy ways? Because of course there is the shadow part of receivership, and I mentioned it briefly in saying taking something that's not ours in the taking. You know, and we have a lot of taking happening on the planet where we've got the elite few who are at the top of the economic pyramid who are taking the resources, taking the money, taking so much, and as if there's not enough. So they're trying to hoard it and take it to make sure that they have enough, and they don't really care from that perspective, don't really care if other people are starving or don't have their needs being met. So in this process of giving and receiving, it's really finding the way to integrate it so that it is something that everyone has the experience, has the opportunity to experience the garden of earthly delight. Shakti Gawain says that our ability to give and receive is at the core of our capacity to create and experience true prosperity. So learning how to do healthy receivership. And when I do sessions for people who have strong Taurus on their chart, I often have little practices and things that I share with them for practicing receivership. And one of them is practicing receiving a compliment. And really, this could be a model for all of our receivership. And it starts with the most basic aspect of healthy receiving, which comes from gratitude. When we are deeply, genuinely grateful for the gifts we experience every day in life, for the fact that we are alive, we're in a body, we're on the earth at this truly remarkable turning of the ages, that we have the ability to be witness to that and also to help with this transitional time into a new earth. Having gratitude for that, having gratitude for every single thing that we experience. So from the place of gratitude, that is when we are in a place of healthy receivership, being open to receive the gifts of life, the beauty of life, the intimacy and pleasure of life. The challenge is that, you know, as I said, we're so many people are focused on giving. So practicing receiving a compliment, and you can use this as a model for receiving everything, actually. The first step is to say thank you. When someone gives you a compliment, not to give them the compliment right back, not to deflect it and say, oh, that was nothing, or, you know, something. You know, it's like sometimes when people say, but, oh, yeah, and you did a really good job, too, or, you know, I appreciate how you're showing up, or instead of just really, truly receiving the compliment. So in my women's circles, we practice that. And when we find when one of us isn't receiving the compliment, we'll stop them and say, okay, hold it. you need to hear that again. And that's actually the second part. Oh, no, that's the third part. So part of it, what I have I learned about this too, because I've had my own challenges with receiving, is that it's really important to look a person in the eye when they're giving you a compliment or giving you something. So to say thank you and look them in the eye, very important. Step two is to say thank you, I know it's true. And you might not actually say that out loud, but you could say that to yourself, or you could say it to the person and say something like, thank you, I'm really learning how to receive, and so yes, I know that that's true, or I'm affirming that that's true for myself. And then the third step is to say, thank you, I know it's true, can I please hear it again? And each step takes you deeper. So when you say thank you, you look the person in the eye and you say thank you. Then you've done the first step of receivership. When you say thank you, I know it's true, you've taken it deeper. You're reminding yourself that you know that it's true, that whatever you're being complimented on this person is not just saying that to say it. Hopefully. I mean, maybe sometimes that could be happening, but ultimately, this is assuming that the person is genuine in their compliment. And then to ask to hear it again means you're willing to take it in at a deeper level. So these are some of the ways you can work with receivership. The importance of being willing to receive. So if you find yourself having a little bit of difficulty with that, take a moment, breathe, and notice, breathe into your belly, and then just really ground yourself and take some time to breathe into the belly. But as you're breathing in and being conscious of your breath, notice how you're receiving the breath and opening to fill yourself as full as possible with the breath. And then maybe practicing that will help you to open to receive more fully in the moment.